Yo, what's up, everybody? Thank you for tuning in to yet again another fantastic indie creator interview. It's your Caper Sarah Cody, and we're keeping it geekly with our returning guest, J. Michael Miller. We're here to break down the Healer's Blade and everything in between. And this is such an interesting concept, Jay. I'm going to be honest with you. I love the idea of a weapon that traditionally throughout the years has served a purpose of killing and maiming others. And you took that and you flipped it on its side and made something completely new out of that, man. It's such an awesome concept. Before we dive into that, though, how the hell have you been since the last time you've been on the show? I want to say it was what? Let me look. Interview 121. So almost what, like 270 interviews ago?
That's a lot. I can't believe you've done that many in a little over a year.
Yeah, it's, you know, interviewing is an addiction, but another one is creating comics. I mean, we are here to talk about a brand new book. Before we do that, you know, how did everything go with the last book? You know, Kid Cretaceous, we had you on that, you know, for, I think that was a crowdfunder?
Yeah, I was doing a crowdfunder when I was on the show. I did a Kickstarter before that, and that's what funded it mostly. And everything turned out great. We just did a new printing. It's got a little ad for the Healer's Blade in the back.
Oh, that's so cool. That is so cool. And so for anyone who is tuning in, I mean, let's talk a little bit about some of your previous work. So what is this book about?
Kid Cretaceous is about a young girl named Casey, and she wishes that toy dinosaur would come to life when they get in a car accident to help her save her dad. And it works. And so then he helps her when they move to the new town.
And, you know, and that was a little bit different of a story, too, you know, kind of more, you know, taking a child approach and dealing with some really heavy, you know, things in life, you know, some loss and heavy trauma. And the Healer Blade feels like a totally different pivot from that. You know, what kind of inspired this, you know, the inception of the story?
It started out as a pitch for an anthology, and then I thought it could be more. And I really like thinking about things that exist and finding twists on them, and the best things that are created are things that seem like they should have always existed. And so everybody thinks that how can anybody exist before this was a thing in just such a short amount of time?
Oh, I gotcha.
And so like to twist things around.
So what story did you, you know, take and put your own twist on? Like, what, you know, what kind of served as, I guess, like your reference or your inspiration?
It's a little bit inspired by like what the character of Wonder Woman and Arthurian legends.
Okay. All right. So, I mean, you know, we won't spoil too much, but give us a little bit about the Healer's Blade. Like, you know, what's the story about? You know, we have a rather powerful looking protagonist, and, you know, this sword looks really interesting as well.
Thank you. So the story's about the healer. Her name is Matilda, and she wields a blade of great power. The blade is called Olivier, and it's basically kind of like the sword in the stone. And it's gone by a lot of other names, the Healer's Blade. It's also called the Sword of Suture because it helps seal the wounds that it exits. And so the story is about a weapon that can defy death. And so once it leaves it, it excises the wound, it heals the wound that it left.
Ooh, so, I mean, for a pre-existing wound, I mean, do you have to, like, essentially stab that to heal it? Like, how does that work?
To an extent, it's, it depends how it is. Like, you could save somebody who just had a life-threatening injury if you stab them quick enough.
I love that. It's like, you're in some pain, this might hurt just a little bit, but... So in terms of, I guess, like defense, I mean, the Healer's Blade, like if someone is trying to take your life, I mean, this could pose, you know, be problematic too. Is there any way to like kind of turn off the healing effect, or is it just healing 100% of the time?
It's just a healing 100% of the time. So you have to almost want to be Wonder Woman or Superman like and find a way to disarm them, make them stop in some way that's not going to kill them. Might make them bleed a lot. but
yeah. And I love that. We have, you know, of course, some interesting interiors that you've been sprinkling out throughout this pre-launch campaign. We begin with a really interesting, you know, the first page. You know, we have Matilda, I believe, standing over someone she just stabbed. Yeah, that was, you know, so what's going on there? Give us some of the juice with this first page.
The first page kind of starts in the action, and then on page two, we start where the prologue story actually begins.
Okay, so how does Matilda end up getting the blade? Is that kind of like revealed throughout the story? Is that spoiler or...?
It's not in this. It's going to be in the next full oversized issue that's released. But
okay.
She ends up having to go on a journey after she's been through some crap with her family, losing some of her family.
Okay. So it sounds like not all things get healed in this story. There's going to be some, of course, some loss and trauma carrying that over from the first book to the second. I love to see it.
Yeah.
So give us a little bit about the world in The Healer's Blade. I mean, within the first couple of pages, we see, you know, a pair traveling on, you know, horse and carriage to a bustling marketplace. I mean, what type of world can we expect within this series?
It's similar to a medieval time setting. And so they're going to the town of Malvern and to sell some of their crops. And that town was once known for being a safe place for everybody. They had healing springs to help everybody rejuvenate their wounds and just live more happily than they are now, because the false king took over the throne, and so now he sees all of the springs that are known.
Ooh.
But the town has a few that are left that he's trying to find, and so it's kind of tense. Everybody's trying to act like everything is okay, but there's an undertone of tyranny.
It's definitely not okay, and that becomes a problem in itself when you have those healing springs and factors, and then you take them and, you know, seize them for your own power. That gets heavy. There's a lot of layers to this. Now, in a world where there's, you know, swords that have the ability to heal, are there any other magical properties or weapons or any sort of, like, you know, elements like that that we could expect in the story?
As the series goes on, there's definitely going to be at least one other weapon that shows up. And sometimes we might find out that the weapons don't come from places that are as good as we thought they were.
Oh, that, you know, that is a really interesting spin on it as well. The creation of, even if the weapon is good, the creation of it could have not been so good. So that's another interesting twist as well. Now, without spoiling too much, you know, we'll kind of back away from the comic. Let's dive into the creative team involved. So, you know, who all isn't involved on this project with you?
This is a great team. It's the biggest team that I've worked with yet, and they have a lot of experience. So the co-creator and interior artist, and she also does a couple of the variants, is Maria Teresa Suska, and most people call her Terry on Twitter. And she has done covers for Band of Bards and a few other indie comics, like A Flag to Fly was just funded on Kickstarter.
Yeah.
And then the letters are going to be by Ringo winning Taylor Esposito, and the editing is by Brittany Matter. She works with Marvel, and she's done editing on a lot of comics on Kickstarter.
Wow. Congratulations. That is so awesome. You have such a robust team. And, you know, the interiors I seen were absolutely gorgeous. I loved everything I seen so far. And, you know, so when you came up with the initial script for this, how does that work with the artist? Do you kind of let the artist take the wheel on what they want to do? Or do you have kind of a vision in which you'd wish they kind of would stick to?
It's important to have a malleable vision. So you want to know what everything looks like, but to be comfortable with maybe changing the angle on an image or changing the amount of panels that are being used to tell the story. Sometimes you can tell it quicker or draw it out so the tension is clear.
Okay. No, that makes a lot of sense. We have a Devi Cow YT over on YouTube. Can't wait for this book. It's going to be so good. Yes, it just launched. We're going to be dropping the link here in chat soon. We're going to be pulling into the Kickstarter as well and checking this all out. in its initial hype. You know, but I always love setting up the pace. I always love building up the hype. So that way we kind of know a little bit of what we're getting into. Man, and holy crap, you know, I love just the way it just feels like this book is just an evolution of your writing, you know, and your abilities of a creator. The even the first page of the panel, just that Shulk and the way it bleeds into the initial panel, it's such a cool looking page. I just love how the interiors and the panels all laid out.
Yeah, Terry does a great job reading the script and putting that to paper. I wrote that word and the blood seeped out from darkness, and so she was able to make it spill onto the next frame and took it to the next level even better.
Yeah, let's go. So before we dive into things, let's go ahead and talk a little bit about the protagonist and the sword itself. You know, where did you come up with these designs? Did you have your artist kind of just, you know, come out with, you know, a couple things and you just picked, or did you have an initial kind of reference that you kind of based it off of?
I had the idea for the sword itself, and then I looked through several different designs that I liked, and I had an idea for the logo as well. So I have like a scribble logo that I sent to Chris Benamati from Band of Bards as well, who did the logo design. And so Terry took that and my references that I'd looked at and made the sword.
Oh, that's so cool. I love that. So let's go ahead. No, we won't waste any more of this hype. Let's pull up the campaign and go through each and every interior and every reward and get this hype going. Of course, you know, this launched before I had a chance to refresh it. So let's go ahead and get that refresh in. For everyone that is watching, go ahead and check this out with us. We would love to see you back it while we are live with it. But if you're unable to back, simply putting this on Facebook and Twitter works just as well. Word of mouth is always 100% free. And getting this book out to all your family and friends is important, you know. It's crucial, you know. Word of mouth helps just get this book in the algorithm. It gets people just seeing it, and I loved it. I love the interiors. I thought it was gorgeous. We are looking at the Healer's Blade issue 1 prologue fantasy action comic book. What if an instrument of death was designed to heal instead? Currently at $58 of $1,111 goal. 4 backers and 29 days left to go. I mean, dude, 4 backers within like 10 minutes. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you.
Dude, let's go. And of course, let's go ahead and check out this trailer, right?
Yeah, you worked on it.
You might not be able to hear the audio. We could hear it loud and clear on our end, though. Anything you were saying, that music was kind of overpowering you.
I just said it's awesome to have its own theme for itself too.
Yeah, I'm just saying it reminds me of like Final Fantasy Tactics. If I had to put a certain title to it, like that just initial opening is just so gorgeous. Who did the music for you?
Alec, it's right down there. I got it from them a couple of years ago. And so it was for a different project, and it ended up fitting this perfectly.
Okay.
And so it's, I think it's Alec Kexton.
Yeah, we'll scroll down and we'll make sure we get the full proper name on it. So right here is a look of our protagonist. Such a powerful design too.
Yeah, I love the profile.
And let's go ahead and check out some of the stories. So we have a healer that wields a blade of great power. And after gaining power, the false king seizes Malvern and their sacred spring. So filled with healing waters, it was once a mecca for the kind-hearted, the ill, and the injured. And now towns and citizens can only cling to their hope of hiding the few secret springs that remain. So, man. And then the healer blade theme by Alec Kakazan. Did I say that right?
It's close enough, I think. I think Kaxan.
Your guess is probably way better than mine. So some gorgeous covers as well. So cover A, oh man, this is beautiful. So who ended up doing this one for you?
Eliza Rombali did the main cover, and she did such a great job. She's she just finished The Least We Can Do at Image Comics and their campaign for a thing called Truth Volume 2 on Kickstarter.
Which I ended up doing a pull quote for, thanks to you for tagging me into that. So it's such a small world how this all ends up like working out together, right? Like,
she's done covers for Black Mask Studios, for Pat Shand and Destiny New York.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of indie comics too.
And then, of course, you know, it was so awesome when I was interviewing Matta, and we were going through their campaign, and then they had a tier for a cover of this nature. And then I want to say a couple days later, like, I seen you guys were working together. I was just like, I was so happy because they wanted this to pop. They wanted to do one so bad. So it was like another thing of, you know, such a small world, just knowing that creator on a more personal level and knowing how bad they wanted to do it, and then seeing it actually happen and seeing it, you were the person who commissioned it. I was like, dude, this is awesome.
Yeah. I love it. She's a great person too, and Sacrimony is a really good comic.
Yeah, absolutely. So, what is this green aura? Is that something kind of just like to, you know, after effect, or does the sword actually have that within the interiors?
It's kind of the after effect. There is a green glow that happens when the sword is removed to kind of indicate that there's healing, almost like in a video game.
I love that.
Healing. There's like med mist in Fortnite. There's some kind of green usually associated with healing.
You know, it kind of reminds me, Bloodborne has I think it's like the Chikage. It's a blade that when you use it, it drains the user's blood. It's a blood tinge weapon. So like the more you attack with it, the more your health goes down, but it amplifies the damage. And all I could think about is like how cool this weapon is, because it's like the exact opposite. I mean, so are you able to like, it causes pain when you get stabbed still, even though it heals you?
Yeah, so it doesn't cause any of the permanent damage that the wounds would, but you still feel every piece of the blade that goes through you.
So how far do you have to get penetrated by this blade for it to actually start working? I'm just, you know, I know we're kind of getting into the science of it, but I'm curious, like, is it just a little poker? Do you have to really like get in there with it?
I think it would be hard for there just to be a little poke with the sword, but I think just a scratch would be healed as well.
Because I mean, think about that. If you had a blade of this, like, you could almost be immortal to a certain degree. Like, you stub your toe, you're like, all right, I'm just going to stab myself a little bit. We're going to take care of that.
Hopefully she keeps the blade and nobody bad gets it.
Ooh, yeah, that is another good call, too. And then right here is a gorgeous cover. This is going to be a holochrome one, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
So which part of these are going to be the shiny parts? Is it going to be, like, the tree base and the blade, or?
The entire cover is going to be printed on holochrome.
Ooh, okay. So we always love seeing the shiny stuff. You know, shiny stuff gonna shine. Let's go ahead. And right there is the creative team again. Do you want to give them another shout out?
Yeah, I definitely do. I need to write some more about them. But Terry has done great work on the interiors again. Like I said, she did the temporary lettering for page one as well. Because Taylor needs to have all of the pages at once so he can decide what lettering fits the entire story, not just one page.
Mm-hmm.
And then Eliza Rombali, she did the cover, and It was amazing. She worked so quick once she got started on it. They went out of town on a vacation, but once they got back, we started working, and it was less than a week that she had the cover drawn, inked, colored, everything. And so then Brittany Maddox, she was great with making sure that my word choices had the best impact that they could, and that anything that felt clunky, everything flowed better.
That's awesome.
Was recommended by Taylor to do the book design as well.
Real quick, we have Super Comic Bros over on YouTube just back. Can't wait to read. Awesome. Thank you guys for stopping in. We always love to see the Super Comic Bros. And if anyone is in the channel and not subscribed to them, be sure to subscribe. They do some awesome indie comic work over on their channel as well. A big shout out to Stokes and Chris. So let's go ahead and take a look at some of these preview pages as well. This is that one initial page I was saying, you know, all it takes is a little light, and then that Shulk with the blood bleeding into the panel. Just this is such an awesome way to introduce the story.
Yeah. I love the visuals.
Some more gorgeous right here. So is this kingdom like walled to hide this, you know, secret spring in here, or you know what's the this city, the importance of it?
It's one city in the kingdom, and so the king is not in this city right now, but there is the presence of his soldiers and his troops, and so there's again the unease and the tension within the city. But there are springs a little bit within and around the surrounding town.
And then this marketplace is gorgeous too. I just loved how like lived in it feels. It feels like it's a packed, you know, place.
Yeah.
The detail to all the stands, you know, with their various fruit and vegetable. You know, this is a gorgeous, gorgeous page. Yeah, and you know, I can't believe I just noticed this for the first time. Who's like hiding in the background right there?
Oh, who's that?
Holy crap! I can't believe I just like I'm like going through this, and right
Where's
there,
she,
yeah, right there, you can see the sword too. That is, I can't believe. Like, I literally have been staring at these interiors for hours, like, and I can't believe I just put that together. Yeah. And then you gave
me.
Yeah, you gave me a little sneak peek. You know, there's something important about to happen. But that's all you guys are going to get. You're going to have to back this and get this book in your hands to see what's going to happen after here. But we do have, you know, I love the Where's Waldo. Was that kind of what you told your artist you wanted?
I just said that she needed to be present in the background. So she needed, that way it wasn't just out of nowhere when she appears, but... Mm-hmm. That the focus was not on her yet.
Dude, I'm so mind blown that I just put that together. That is so cool. And I think that really goes to show that your artist did a phenomenal job. That, like, on a first pass, you probably would not have recognized. But once you kind of stare and you put the details together, like the long flowing hair and then the sword poking out, it's like, okay, I know who that is. Like,
yeah.
And then, so the prologue features an 8-page full-color introduction to Matilda and the world of the Healer's Blade, contains the complete first chapter and opening pages of our follow-up full-sized first issue of the Healer's Blade. So let's go ahead and check out some of these rewards. Pledge $1 or more and you get an indie bundle, a collection of 20-plus digital comics by other independent creators, including Decay Issue 1 and Intrusive Thoughts by Anthony Stokes from Super Comic Bros, Worlds Away by Damian Becton, Sacrimony by M. Sorcerer, Wishful Thinking by Jack Rains, and much more. At next, you get $2 or more, just a thank you, get a shout-out and your name in the thank you section, including, and that includes the indie bundle. And then one hell of a price on this early bird special, so $3. The physical is $4? J. Michael, you are killing it with these early bird specials, man. How many pages is this all together?
There's 8 pages of story.
Okay. Yeah, outstanding price on that. And then the early bird special, any 2 covers at $10. So you get pick of any 2 of these, all 3 gorgeous covers. And if you can't choose, for just $8 more, you're going to get all 3 together. So fantastic pricing on all of these. Get that digital copy for $5 after the early bird special. And then Comics and Cosmos digital catch up for $6. So all the titles in the Comics and Cosmo library. That Digital Deluxe at 7, what's going to be included in the Digital Deluxe?
There's going to be some extra sketches and scripts that's thrown in there, and also you're going to see all of the different cover designs in one spot too.
Okay.
Gallery.
And then after that early bird, you can get the main cover at $6, so outstanding price for that. You get the variant at variant B at 8, and then that variant C at 10. You get the Cosmo physical catch-up at $8, outstanding price on that. That's, you know, two comics. And of course, you know, you get the throwback, the first book J. Michael Miller has ever done, and then the premium Patreon package. So give us a little bit about what this one's going to include at $15.
So this one is for a physical copy of the C variant cover by Maria Teresa Suska, and she also is including a digital sketch for you as well. There's a limit of 10 of these, and hopefully you can get one.
So what's is that going to be the backer's choice or whatever the artist wants to do?
I believe that it's whatever the person asks for within the rules, basically.
Yeah, we, you know, within reason too as well. So any two covers at $11 for those variants. A variant D at 15, so that's going to be that holochrome variant of the cover D.
Yes.
All three physical covers at $20, and then a retail bundle at 40. So that's going to include 10 copies of the cover A. You get the Cosmo Collective at 45. Man, some awesome price here. And then we get the original art of the cover B at 250. So, man, I can't believe you're selling that. You're not going to hang that up on the wall?
We'll see. I might sneak in and get it myself.
Yeah, that is gorgeous. And I mean, just the interior, like the look, the design. I always love seeing the original work. Like, it's so beautiful to kind of see what all went into it and how it looks.
It's amazing because it started out digital and she decided that she didn't want to draw digital and she redid it by hand again, and then ended up doing it physically. So there's original art instead of only digital as well. So it's great to see how it turned out.
Absolutely. And then we have some add-ons as well. So banner art print, extra copy, sticker sheet, t-shirts, Kid Cretaceous issue 1 bookmark, and then editing. So what are the prices on those?
The editing, one moment.
You're good. Let's go ahead. While J. Michael Miller is pulling that up, we're going to go ahead and check out these interiors a little bit more in-depthly as well. See if there's any more Easter eggs that I missed. I didn't even notice Matilda just hanging out in the crowd like that. Yeah, these are gorgeous. And I love just like how open and serene this feels.
Yeah.
And then, a collection of 20-plus comics for $1, outstanding price on that. So, J. Michael, you find that pricing yet?
I did.
Good. So, let me go ahead and scroll back down. So, you know, if anyone's interested in adding on editing, you know, what does that look like?
So, the editing, I'm going to look at it for you. And if there's any specific type of editing you want, I'll focus on that. But I can offer suggestions to help with your story, your pacing, your normal syntax, and your errors that you might have for spelling, your word choice, make sure that everything is better, and maybe help with symbolism in your script as well, and help you make sure that it packs the biggest punch that you want.
Let's go. So, you know, a limit of 5 of everything available, and you get everything in the above tiers, plus J. Michael Miller will edit your comic strip. 32 pages, max 2 rounds of edits included, and then a physical copy of Healer Blades issue 1 prologue, and then timeline. So it's in progress now, pages 6 through 8 of art, and then you're coming out with the physical in August, early September, so not even that far away, you know, just a few months.
Yeah.
That's awesome, man. Congratulations on that. Let's go ahead and check out some of these stretch goals. So once you reach 50 backers, the bookmark will be revealed at $1,111. The digital Walmart gets dropped, $1,250 cover unlocked, And then at 1500, a bookmark. So every physical backer will receive a Healer's Blade bookmark with more to come. J. Michael Miller, awesome campaign here. Very excited about that. I mean, so for anyone who might be on the fence about backing, what would you like to say to them to kind of push them over that fence?
Why are you on the fence?
Get off of it.
I think if you look at it, that there's not a reason that you would not want to check it out. Mm-hmm. I think that the concept is really interesting and that the art matches it perfectly. That there's all of that detail like you noticed, and the story is only beginning. So this is the first chance to kind of get the prologue, the introduction, and it's not going to be offered again, the 8 pages in the little package that we're offering in the future. It'll only be in the full first issue that's oversized.
Okay, let's go. And I mean, right now at 13 backers, $157. Congratulations on a strong push in the beginning. Everyone that's back today, thank you so much. If you're unable to back, right here is a link. Put this on Facebook, wherever you can. Word of mouth is 100% free. You have nothing to lose. So with that being said, you know, with this being a prologue, how long of a series can you maybe expect this to be?
We're going to start with a planned 5-issue series. And the first issue, though, is going to be at least 32 pages in full, including these 8 pages.
Okay. No, that is awesome. I love how this all kind of just came from like an anthology idea that you had.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So, Jay, you've been on the show before. You know the drill. We always love ending the show on a strong note. So for anyone looking to do a Kickstarter for the first time, what would be your biggest piece of advice? I mean, you had 131 pre-launch followers. I mean, so for anyone who's looking maybe to start off their pre-launch on a strong note, what would be the biggest piece of advice you can offer them to kind of help them?
I think it's annoying, but practice is important, and little steps of growth make you go a lot further than you realize until you're looking back at it. And so if you're wanting to have a larger pre-launch following, you either need to have an established audience already, or you need to have a smaller campaign that you focus on first. That way you have a way to build your audience, a lower goal, and you can kind of learn Kickstarter and making your comic everything that it can be. And then you can have the best that you can make the next time even better.
No, I love that. And starting off small makes it easier to manage, easier to handle. You know, and when you do too, I was just talking to my significant other about this earlier. Like when you bite off more than you could chew, it almost works against you. You almost don't want to do it because it's so daunting. It's hard to like motivate yourself. And when it's small and achievable and digestible, you can just jump right in. So awesome advice there, Jay. Thank you so much for swinging by. Before we let you go, though, what are you consuming outside of creating? I mean, we play a lot of Fortnite together, but what other games are you playing? You know, what TV shows are you watching, or what comic books are you reading?
I just read the Carnage event this morning, and I'm catching up with Spider-Man as well, and all of the associated Marvel titles. And I've been, I don't really play any other games anymore. I have God of War that I've wanted to play since it came out, and I got it for Christmas, and I still haven't even turned it on.
Boy, you better get into it. Kratos is not going to wait much longer. I will say the story for the second one is just equally as riveting. Like, Ragnarok is amazing.
Yeah, I want to play it. And then tonight, going to Across the Spider-Verse.
I was gonna say, I seen that. I'm doing that as well. You know, my significant other, after this, I'm getting ready to take her to get an extraction, you know, emergency extraction. She might not be able to join. She's gonna be a little dazed and confused. But I definitely want to sling my way into the Spider-Verse as soon as I can. I've been waiting for that movie forever. It looks phenomenal.
Hey, I'm so excited.
So with that being said, guys, it is time for us to wrap up. Let me drop this link in chat one more time. Be sure to check this out, back it if you can, and like I said, share it if you can. With that being said, it's time for us to leave. I hope you all have a lovely Thursday, but most importantly, guys, keep it geekly.